Ruth. Rayuth. Rayoth. See well. We didn't get very far in Ruth. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. That approach is blasphemy. Some of us were struck dumb a long time ago. I'm gonna, we've studied this, but just for the sake of continuity, we're going to start in 1:15. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home empty again, or again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. That means they came at Passover. Okay? Everybody got the first part. We're going to rush through the rest of this, relatively speaking, but I'm not going to go through every word like we did almost. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Now, Boaz, in this process, Boaz is the type of Christ. I don't want to go into that right now. Never mind. We'll just read it. We'll study it more deeply next year. But notice that he was also a near kinsman to Elimelech, who was, we studied, was a biggie. He was an aspiring to the kingship. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Okay. In the law, they could not harvest the corners of the fields. And that was what the poor went, and whether of anything, whether it's the vineyards, the wheat fields, the fig trees, they always had to leave something there for the poor. And then the poor came and picked it up and did poor stuff with it.
Which is called food.
What?
Called food.
I like
food.
Made bread?
Yeah, they had.
Well, this was the barley harvest, which is, again, barley.
Poor people ate barley.
Only very poor people ate barley. Because the barley was used as provender for the animals. It wasn't used for anybody that had any class didn't eat barley. So like anybody in any class doesn't eat mayonnaise and
drink beer.
Beer.
Small as car.
Holy, I this thing keeps coming up for me. So, this thing about corn.
Who?
Corn.
Corn.
Yeah.
Corn thing.
Yeah.
Where's corn?
Ears of corn.
It says
corn.
Ears of corn.
Oh,
what was
it? The kernel of whatever the stuff.
Ears of corn means. Again, this is a bad translation. It could call ears of corn could be the little hoochies of the barley stalk.
Okay.
Or it could be the little hoochies, the little husks and kernels of the wheat stalk.
It's the thingies.
It's the seed that's in whatever. It's throughout the scriptures. Like when Jesus said, except the kernel of wheat or the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. I mean, that's what it means. It doesn't mean corn like.
They didn't have that kind of corn.
It's just a King James way of saying stuff.
But we're sure it's either a hoochie or a thingy.
Okay?
Technical.
Everybody, you got that?
Okay.
The other thing is that now it's. Bethlehem wasn't a major metropolis, but. There was more than one field in Bethlehem, and she, ended up in Boaz's field. Okay? Now, there's another interesting story that I'm almost tempted not to tell you, but I got to tell you anyway.
Tell us
the
story.
Banana story. The word there, where it says, in her hap, H-A-P, that's the Hebrew word for semen. And
chance or something?
Huh? It's both related to chance.
Yeah.
But it's the Midrash has all kinds of stories. She was 40 years old at this time.
Not really.
According to the Talmud.
No, Talmud and Midrash both. She was 40. She was married.
10 years.
She was married for 10 years, and I don't know. Anyway, but she looked like she was 14, according to the Midrash. But this, the way these words are structured here, it means that remember I told you about the Hebrew language. It always has these interesting sub-meanings. Well, here it also means that she excited the semen in whoever saw her. She was like, she is really a sexy lady.
They all were. Every single one of these women in the Bible was a knockout. I mean, how did that all happen?
Because it's a type of the bride.
Just a coincidence.
There weren't any ugly ones.
Okay.
There was Leah.
Yeah, but she wasn't.
And yeah, behold, in the morning, behold, it was Leah. I've had that too many.
Leah Coyote.
Leah Dog. All right. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Now again, Boaz, why would he come out? He's a rich man. He's got all kinds of fields. But he heard the stories about her beauty.
Which one of you
is
half?
He wanted to get his
half.
He wanted to get his half
clean.
That's for
the half.
Did you trouble?
Come on, Ollie. You made that one.
I think you're really strange on this.
Let's vote on this expansion.
Boaz, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee.
Rare Boaz.
Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, who in the hell is that? Now, whose damsel is this? I mean, it was something, it was a mind for him. He saw a woman that, there's all kinds of neat stories.
This story's starting to make sense.
All the other women, for instance, I'm not making these stories up. The women that were in the fields gleaning would bend over from the waist and pick up. No, it's not. Listen. No, listen, I'm serious. She kneeled. She went down, you know what I'm talking about. No, it was a graceful act of picking it up. Well, they were, you know, like clots or something. But all her mannerisms were of grace and obvious
culture.
And it was just,
She's
daughter of a king. She stuck out like a very healthy thumb from a bunch of sore thumbs.
Yeah.
It was a picture of the way God views the human race. The way God views the body. God is calling forth the unseen beauty. The people around Ron Ruth made fun of her because she talked funny. And she didn't go and swig the beer, whatever. I mean, all of the commonplace customs that would have been of women in the field, and she didn't ever, and there was a whole lot of things. They give stories about how, we'll get to that one in a minute.
But I bet you she wore Hawaiian things.
No, she did not wear her Hawaiian. Everybody else, not. All the other ones wore Hawaiian stuff.
She wore a wet t-shirt.
No, but you understand the scene. It was a special scenario. She stood out if you had the eyes to see. That's the point of it. Okay? Would you keep better control?
I think I better hold on to this.
Okay, so Boaz's sore thumb was standing out, right?
No.
No, that was his hat.
His hat was standing out. It was a sore hat.
And a sore hat. You lost it. You should never have told us.
That's the key to the understanding.
Oh, yeah, but it's her paps and his half, right? That's the way it goes. Yeah.
Chapter 2, verse 5. Then said Boaz unto a servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Now, this is Christ, and he's telling each of you, go not to another field. Now, but another interesting aside is, the reapers weren't maidens. She was out in the field near the reapers, and Boaz, not being too dumb, said, stand fast here by my maidens, not by the reapers. So the jealousy is here. He doesn't want her. He knows what happens. So he's putting her in the protection of the maidens. You see it? Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? So the first thing he did, so he went and told those young studs, if you touch her, I'll have your ass.
What's the type of, in Christ telling the devil or something?
Yeah. So it's like you can take the property, you can, but don't. Your warfare is completed. You don't have to fight anymore. Now we get it. It gets better. And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Now, what he's saying is you no longer have to be as the poor that gleam, that gather in the gleanings of the field. It's the, what's actually been reaped in the middle, the best part, is yours. And you don't have to worry about water. If any man hunger, let him. If any man thirst, he shall never thirst, because it's the vessels that have been drawn by another. You understand? That's the promise of God that will totally, when you apprehend this, it will take you totally out of cause and effect. Another man will draw, and you will drink. Another man will work, and you will eat. Capisce? That's what Christ is telling each one of you and us as a body. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Now, capture that. That's what Christ is saying. As you minister to the body, Christ is it's being reported unto Christ how that all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law after the flesh, the body is your mother-in-law after the flesh. You understand?
After the flesh?
For your flesh. Listen, okay. Since the death of thine husband, you were married to cause and effect before. Now you're no longer married to that, because your husband has died. And now thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. Now this is what Romans 7 is about. Let's take a quick little detour to Romans 7. Keep your... Don't lose your place.
That is bordering.
It was an innocence bordering.
How come I get hit here?
Because it's expected from Harry.
Where are we going?
Unusual that this seems
to... Romans 7. Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress, or she shall be called a whore of Babylon. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Okay? Do you understand what's happening?
That's dead to the law of cause and effect.
Right, well, but it's, you were, I mean, in the spirit, you were married to that. You had to die to that by the cross.
But now we're dead.
Now we're dead. We're buried now, experientially. Now we can serve in newness of life. The head of the field is saying to the reapers, to the, all the other workers, you give the best to Ruth. You draw water for Ruth. I mean, there's nothing else.
How will that manifest itself in the body?
Well, this is the body is Ruth. I mean, the body is Naomi. We're like individual Ruths that are going out into the field.
Yeah, it's talking about a relationship of the individual to the body.
And
Ruth to Naomi.
Yeah, but it's also here, it's talking about the individual's relationship to the world.
Yeah, the world, the reapers.
And the reapers in the world, and the ones that draw the water in the world, in other words, the sustenance. And
that doesn't mean that people are going to support us, though.
We'll study that, but there's many, many scriptures that says that a man raises up money so that he can give to the righteous.
But Ruth is out in the field for the benefit of Naomi.
Amen.
And that which she receives in the field, she will be...
She returns to Naomi.
Returns to Naomi. Right?
Amen.
Isn't she, though, the bride? Boaz is Christ and she's the bride, and there are lots of analogies going on.
Oh yeah, there's my, there. Remember, when God does something, you just learn one thing. You learn a whole raft of things. Okay.
Well, like instead of being a mother, mother-in-law is the same kind of a deal, right?
Right.
Mother-in-law stuff.
If Naomi were an isolated self, it would certainly not be necessary for her to be out in the field.
Right. Okay, in verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. The wings are the wings of the cherubim on the mercy seat. You dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. That's your permanent dwelling place. You understand? Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her, or gave her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. Now, the rabbis have all kinds of stories about that verse. The one that I like best is Boaz is the type. They say it. Boaz is the Messiah. And you come and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And there's all kinds of scriptures that, you know, when Christ was given the vinegar and the whole process to dull him. Anyway, this is a picture of eating of the flesh and the blood of Christ. Vinegar is just wine. I mean, it could be translated wine.
Yeah.
Is he really flirting with her, coming on to her, or is he being real brotherly?
He's flirting. He loves. It's not just, we're not talking brotherly love here. We're talking.
We're talking happy.
It's all of them. It's remember there are five words for love. Well, this Christ encompasses all five.
Yeah, this is highly reminiscent of when Abraham defeated the five kings. And Melchizedek comes out to meet him and feed him red wine.
Oh, man.
Maybe everybody else knows the five words for love. I don't.
Okay. Eros, filial, Philadelphia. No. Stergo. Anyway, but they cover, huh?
Agape.
They cover every act of
emotional ties.
Emotional ties to another person, positive emotional ties, whether it's familial, family love, brotherly love, friendship,
erotic
love, and the agape, which is the divine, the self-giving. And in Christ, all are encompassed. Religion always tries to exclude.
Yeah, they only say agape, right?
Right.
So like somehow it's like each one encompasses the other.
Yeah, it's an expansion of the circle, right?
Thing, yeah.
And that's what, you know, it's like he was attracted to her, and then he found that he's related to her. So there, I'm sure there are all these emotions going
like
on. He wants
builds.
To protect her, you know, for himself, and also because he knows.
Right.
You know.
Okay. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not."
He's kind of sly.
That does sound like stuff that happens, you know, stuff just falling into your hands.
Amen.
Yeah, this is neat what you said about, you know, like this field is the world where things are going on and God is instructing things to happen.
Amen.
You know, just let this fall.
She's still gleaning it, but...
she doesn't, yeah, she in her mind isn't totally, she doesn't know who she is yet. Yeah. Just like Jesus didn't know who he was early.
Yeah, he didn't take a bag of finished stuff and put it in her hand.
No.
She's
not
still,
until later.
Not until the fullness of the knowledge, because the battlefield is always in her mind. When she knew she was the bride, then she was the bride.
She thought she was still working for it.
Well, not really. I mean, she's starting to suspect here. I mean, we're talking mind renewal rapid.
Yeah,
God's speeding up time for her, too.
Yeah.
The thing I'm seeing in it is, as you mentioned, her graciousness. And, you know, she's not, grabbing, she's not manipulating, she's not... you know, she's not pulling from she's not pulling a con on both.
Amen.
You know, total grace.
Amen.
Yeah, it's like she was satisfied.
It would suffice her.
Does he lean on those corners to be poor to take that home to Naomi, and that would have been enough.
And she probably could have gone because she wasn't their kinsman or whatever. She could have gone to him right off the bat and said, you know, well, we're over
she
the
should
cabin.
Have right, and the marriage would have never taken place.
Yeah. But she just took the part of the poor and...
She'd learned how to be abased. She learned how to abound. In whatsoever state she was, she learned therewith to be content.
That's what he saw, and that's why he got it.
Amen.
Exactly.
Well, she's expending the same amount of energy with a gigantic...
increase.
Larger increase. Yeah.
Amen. Okay. You everybody getting the feel of this?
Mm-hmm.
So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah, I can't ever pronounce that word, epaph of barley. Now, the problem here is that that's a whole lot of barley. I mean, we're talking like, I don't remember what it is, but it's like more than a bushel. And it's the question is, how did she get it? Because it goes on, she carried it, and she gave it to her mother-in-law. And, you know, but it was much more, much, 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 much more than she could have carried.
That's
the
an
point.
Easy answer.
Oh, yeah, the men have...
She's surrounded by...
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was strong as an ox, as well as men you carry. That sounds like a kind of an explanation.
I mean, she could
she
lift
could.
An
ephah
barley.
Yeah.
Easy.
This is three times for John.
That's no problem.
It's a hat trick.
And still not break
his sweat. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today?" Yeah, I mean, because gleaning, you expect to get a little couple of handfuls.
What the hell are
you doing?
You're not.
Where the hell are you?
Sorry.
The stick.
Where hast thou gleaned today? Where in the hell did you get that? What have you been doing?
Yeah.
What the? What
did you have to do for that?
Okay.
You get the
idea. And where wroughtest thou?
What's wrought?
Hmm?
Where did you work?
Where'd you work? Where'd you get it? What'd you do? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee, and she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Now, the law of kinship is too complicated to go into here, but it's an effect that if one party dies, if the husband of a kinsman dies, then there's an obligation to marry that woman and take over full responsibility. Now, we've come out of something, the world, and who's the husband of the world?
Satan.
Huh? Satan. He's the god of this world. Now, but he is under the laws of kinship. He's related to Christ. So by this death of this, then God is obligated under the laws of kinship to take total control over to meet every possible need that you can imagine.
I gotta say, I know I'm jumping ahead, but I gotta say this thing about, it's like she's beginning to know what's happening here now, and it's like Naomi says, stay by the men until the harvest is done, you know, to the end of time, and then the marriage.
Man, she's starting to see. You'll see more so in a minute.
So Ruth didn't know whose field she was in, and she didn't know who this rich guy was that was being nice to her.
No. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Now notice. Now we have another clue to Ruth. Ruth is kind of an interesting lady. What Boaz said to her was, keep fast by my young maidens. When she told her mother-in-law, she said that Boaz said, keep fast by his young men. Well, the Talmud and the Midrash take off on this one. They start talking about how she's still not quite gotten converted yet. This is probably the source of the famous quote from St. Augustine. Lord, make me chaste, but not just yet.
She still wants to go to the circus.
She still likes to play in the circus.
I can see a version of this in the green pasture where she's going, maybe I'll just stand over here by the men.
Did he say men or did he say maidens?
He said men.
You got the feel for what's going on, right? She likes to excite the haps. I mean, she's an interesting woman, is what I'm telling you. She's not some self-righteous idiot prig who's put on her own righteousness. She's herself. And by the act of being herself, without acting, all the rest of the process is revealed. Amen?
Yeah.
She can tease a little bit now and then.
She even wore Hawaiian shirts.
You can't have any tonight. She's sitting there in
short,
never mind. Hawaiian shirts and garter belts. Oh, that's really sick. Oh, I can't believe I said that. Edit.
Hawaiian garter belts.
She wouldn't have had a movement.
No.
This says she didn't wear any underwear at all.
Oh, no. Okay, wait a minute. This tape we definitely cannot send to any religious people.
Yeah, put an X.
I'll accept
that. That's right. Not suitable for young Christians.
We can't, yeah, right. XXX rating in
what
this tape.
What does the Talmud say about that? besides just what you said.
Well, I know the many stories about it. I mean, it just repeats the same thing. But. Well, and the sense of it was, though, is that she still wasn't fully converted. In the, I mean, the way they make it real religious. Okay. But it's fascinating. I mean, it's a direct contradiction. You never see it.
Yeah, nobody would snap to it except the, you know, these talented people.
Right, right.
You read it 500 times.
All right. Memorize it. Keep fast by my young men. Over here, Boaz said, keep fast by my young maidens. Okay. Until I have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens. I love it. I love it.
It's all right through her bullshit.
It's all right through it. Naomi had discernment.
Naomi He's not dumb.
He's not dumb. We're talking fox. We're talking she's a fox. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
I love this. This is good stuff. This is good
that
stuff.
Sentence, though, does that mean is that the maidens don't meet him in any other field, or the men don't meet her in any other field?
The man.
Right.
Well, no, wait a minute. She doesn't want her to fall back under the law.
Don't let them see you being in anybody else's field once you've been offered this situation.
Right,
in
right,
Boaz's.
Right. Don't play in anybody else's swimming pool, because then you'll fall under the. And that's what the law is. I mean, that's what it's saying to you. You know, you that have begun in the spirit, you can't be perfected by the flesh. Trust the man that owns the field. And if you go and play in somebody else's field, you're going to piss off the guy here, the big guy. You're going to really make him mad because he's jealous. Just as Ruth would have made Boaz mad if she would have gone, well, I'm going to go over here too, in the next field. Understand?
Yeah, I mean, he's given her everything. Why should she go beg somebody else?
Amen. Yeah. It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz. She got smart. To glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest. Now we're coming to Pentecost. And dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now that's from the point of time of the barley harvest to the end of the wheat harvest, from the beginning of it's a 3-month period anyway, and then the 50 days enters in here, which is real complicated, which I don't feel like talking about. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz our kindred, whose maidens thou wast, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. Now, it gets better.
Well, is this happen at the barley? He's still harvesting barley?
No, you remember what I said about these translations? Don't worry about it. Just forget what I said for a minute. At the end of the threshing floor, what always happened is the whores came to the threshing floor because the men had to stay there and protect, so that the thieves wouldn't come and take the threshed wheat or threshed stuff. And so it became, but it was a party because they were done working.
Because they
were eating and drinking at the threshing floor.
Sort of sporting in there.
They were sporting, yes.
It was probably the only kind of a situation where that could take place without being too...
Right, right. No, that's exactly right. The idea before, when I never understood Ruth, was that, honey, what the hell is she doing waking up at his feet on the threshing floor, and why is he in the threshing floor in the first place? They never understood it until now. The threshing floor was the place of the party, and all the whores would come, and because they had to stay there to protect the wheat. And so now her mother is saying to her, anoint thyself, wash thy face, put on the finest apparel, and go to the threshing floor, but make not thyself known.
Oh, this is really wild, because this is accurate, and I'm sure it is. We're saying that the temple is the threshing floor. And at the Feast of Pentecost, all the whores were presenting themselves to party with the priests.
Amen.
So what's the threshing floor in time? Pentecost?
Yeah. Well, the threshing floor is always Jerusalem. The body, that's where where our residence, the high and the hill, the threshing, you know.
That's absolutely appropriate, because we also know that the temple was the high place of high places.
Amen.
So the high place drama was being enacted.
All around.
All around. Do you understand what's going on?
Why did she have to wait until after he'd eaten and drinking?
Well, because
she wasn't going there to perform the
She wasn't before. in the process of the, she didn't want to be, I mean,
it says that women aren't allowed on the threshing floor, but did that mean nice women weren't allowed on the threshing floor?
Yeah.
Ladies weren't allowed.
Ladies.
It's like a big trade convention or something where all the guys, their wives are back at the house and they're out partying.
Amen. Do you understand what's going on? Okay, now let's read it again. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Now, rest meaning security. Now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Now, Naomi has become, in a very real sense, the the actress's mother syndrome. Naomi is going to be fulfilled if Ruth is successful. In the same way that the vain show of this is how that all these little Miss contests where the mothers do all the stuff to get their kid to win a contest, or
Brooke Shields' mom.
Yeah, that Brooke Shields' mother syndrome.
In a way, it's a friend of the bridegroom, friend of the bride.
Yeah.
Or like the way we're fulfilled when we seek the others.
Amen. That's exactly
the
it.
The bride.
When we are fulfilled when we seek the bride's welfare, but in here again, that's too mystical. That you can't get your teeth into that. And so the way God fixes it so that you can get your teeth into it is that you are fulfilled when you meet another's need. Mm-hmm. And it sounds so contradictory. I don't want to say it. Wash thyself therefore. Did I say wash right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he
said right
this time.
Wash thyself.
Good, you've been practicing.
No, I've been getting all kinds of shit about it, is why. Wash thyself.
I can say that word.
Yeah. Therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee. What's the raiment?
The wedding garment.
What is the wedding garment? And get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man. Never exert yourself. Don't exert your rights until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. It's the ultimate act of supplication. You remember what we've talked about, prayer and supplication. Supplication is simply, it's not this stupid little stuff that people do. It's what a wolf does. What a wolf does, I mean, what a wolf cub does, or when a big wolf comes around, and he gives into it, he doesn't resist. It's a supplication.
And uncovering the feet is spirited muffin. Uncovering the feet?
That one I've got to study more. I'm not sure. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities, but I'd rather not speculate on it.
It was some kind of a tradition.
Yeah.
She's certainly in a position to wash his feet if that's what he wants.
And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me will I do. And she went down unto the floor. Now, where is that? I mean, the down or up doesn't mean anything, but the point is she went into the New Jerusalem. Right. And did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry. Now, again, they could never, Boaz wasn't drunk from the standpoint of too much wine, but again, he had eaten the Passover, is what they say. He had done it in, he'd eaten the wine and the bread. He went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid herself down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet.
What were the other things that happened at midnight? What was?
Oh my God!
Everything.
So this happened at Passover.
Huh?
This happened at Passover.
No.
Well, you said in the Passover, and it was the barley harvest.
Well, anyway, no, I don't want to get into that right now. Let's. I'm confused. I mean, I'll get confused if I think in that frame of reference. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Now, the spreading of the skirt it was an act of meaning to she was acknowledging he's been hinting at the betrothal all along, and she in effect accepted here when he said spread thy skirt and put me totally under your protection.
So she was putting herself under his protection when she went and lifted up his skirt and lay down at his feet.
Right. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Now, that means that she hadn't been doing it. She's been teasing the hell out of everybody, but she hadn't done it. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Or somebody that has greater rights. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part, which is to marry her. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And she said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. It means a woman of honor. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. And then said she, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Then went Boaz up to the gate, and sat him down there, and beheld, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city, and said, Sit ye down here, that sat down. And they sat down. 10 again, we took a synagogue. 10 men of leisure. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi that is come again out of the country of Moab selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. Who is the parcel of land?
Oh, yeah.
Ruth.
Ruth.
Are you sure about that? Mm-hmm. It seemed like the parcel of land went with Ruth. They had to both go together.
No. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know. But and
spiritually, the idea of land
is us.
You know, it's us. It's me.
And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none else to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the same of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, You are a witness this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Chilion's, and Mahlon's, of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased, to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren. And from the gate of his place you are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephrathah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the woman shall give thee of this young woman. Of course, that was Christ came through that seed. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And that's, they take off on that, which we don't have time to do tonight. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And through David came Jesus Christ. There's a thousand other things, but it's like it's going to take us an, at least one more Pentecost to understand it. Now, we're still, tomorrow, we're going to talk about the Hallel and what offerings were offered and what happened, what was going on with the high priest when the Holy Spirit descended. And then we'll call it a year for Pentecost and study it more deeply next time, hopefully. But
it's like a lifetime of stuff.
I know. I mean, I could spend a year on just studying, talking about Ruth. Anybody have any needs or prayer requests? Take it, big guy.